Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I am the host of this program. I'm joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me on the board today is our friendly neighborhood woodaholic, perpetually in recovery, none other than Mr. Marty Sparks. And we are also joined by producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, the real Jay Mack is in the screening room, and we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program at this very moment. Many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome, or through which you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family and welcoming his view to inform your own view. In engaging in life and your families from that perspective. We do this daily in an effort to recalibrate our thoughts in describing what we do to generate revenue and income as a part-time investment, when our full-time investment is to cultivate an outcome, simply because the reality is what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. There are lots of very important things that are going on in the White House. Like, for example, what's happening in Venezuela right now? You know, the seizing of the oil tanker yesterday. And I know a lot of people are confused. The simple reality is that the Trump administration has made a concerted effort, really, to send messages in working toward a triangulation, if you will, against China. Because the tanker is one that is used by Venezuela to kind of traffic oil from Iran and other places all the way to Asia and things of that nature. And so it's very, very, very interesting what's happening. But none of those things are more important than what goes on in your house. Primarily because you and I are directly accountable and we are directly responsible for what we do. One of the most important things that we do and what we can do is within our families. The Great Commission requires every Christ follower to be engaged in making disciples. When I say outcome cultivation, I am referring specifically to disciple making. That discharge of obedience must start in our homes. We cannot afford to step past the people in our homes in an effort to win the world. The primary vehicle that God has established for generational disciple making is the family. It is the family. We will never be able to outpolitic the deficiencies that abound in the home. These are the types of things that John Adams and George Washington tried to warn us about, that we have a governing structure in our constitutional republican form of government. But in order for that form of government to persist and to thrive, it requires a particular type of populace. Hence, the description of a religious people, of a moral people. Both presidents, John Adams and George Washington, were clearly referring to a morality that flows from Christ followers. And so, as we are engaging, and I'm endeavoring to point this out with consistency, because we have lots of people that are involved, for example, in governmental engagement and in political engagement, and those things are vitally important. I'm engaged in all of those things as well, but we don't have enough people participating in the hard work, the often thankless work of making disciples. And as the Lord has established it, the primary way that this should transpire is in the home. The scriptures are explicit in explaining that parents are primarily responsible for the evangelism and the catechizing and the discipling of our own children. The church's role is supportive and secondary in that regard. The role that the church plays is to equip the saints, to help prepare parents, to sharpen parents to do this work, and grandparents and great-grandparents. We need all hands on deck. So as you are making your transition to your full-time jobs, please do so with intentionality. Recognize the significance of what it is that you get to do. And while it is day, let us work. Because the time is coming when no man will be able to work any further. All right, to the Word of God we go. Psalm 127 is where we're going to go. This is a psalm of ascents written by Solomon. It's important to note that the context in which Solomon is writing is toward the end of David's reign. Well, actually, David's reign has concluded, and Solomon is ascending to the throne in Israel with the mandate to construct the Lord's temple. All right, this is the context that this psalm is written in. And this is what God's word says: unless the Lord builds the house. See, it makes far more sense when you recognize Solomon is tasked with constructing the temple when he's penning this psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labor. So some translations render that phrase anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Or even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they contend, or the NESB 95, which I'm using today, when they speak with their enemies in the gate. All right, this is described of a psalm of ascents, which is indicative of a psalm that calls to mind devotion to Yahweh. But it also talks about faithfulness in everyday life, as well as vitality in corporate worship. And even as you are preparing to gather corporately for worship, there is a heart disposition and a heart condition that should precede the gathering, which is why the gathering is supposed to be a gathering of worshipers. In the New Testament context, this is what the ecclesia is. It's a gathering of worshipers in which we are called to do corporately together what the expectation is that we are doing prior to the corporate gathering. All right. So then, as I said, considering that Solomon is writing this psalm as David's reign on the Israelite throne is concluded, Solomon is ascending to the throne with the mandate to build the Lord's temple. And he begins this psalm by saying, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. There is a diligence that is required, but the diligence is neither a greed or selfish ambition. It's also, it is not restless anxiety. You know, it's a common phrase that's used in our culture to burn the candle on both ends. And I understand what people mean by that, but we need to be diligent to ensure that we understand what our engagement is, that we're not sacrificing something really that God has provided for us. Let me say it this way. It's a reason why God ordained the day of rest. There's a reason for that. One of the reasons is that the day of rest requires those who are resting to place their confidence in the Lord, to say, Lord, that we will be diligent in the days that you've allowed us to work. And on the day that we are to rest, we place our confidence in you, that even though I could be doing additional tasks, obeying you is far, far more fruitful than what I may envision as task discharging. This is what Solomon is communicating. Unless the Lord watches the city, guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. If you are laborious, but you are striving against God's good design, striving against God's clear instructions, striving against God's will, the striver is striving in vain. Then Solomon transitions in the psalm, and it seems like it's disconnected, but it actually is connected, because the same type of a diligence that is articulated in verses 1 and 2 is turned toward the family. In verse 3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. We talked, I believe this was yesterday, we were talking about how God rewarded the midwives in Egypt, Shiphrah and Purah, following their refusal, let me say it this way, following their righteous obedience to Yahweh, in which they refused to embrace the wicked Pharaoh's murderous decree. The scripture explains that God rewarded them with families, which completely contradicts the position of many people today. I mean, I played on the air the statements made by Afton Ben, who ran for Congress in the Nashville area in the special election last week. Thank you again, Nashvillians, for keeping this woman away from Congress. But she said, I don't want children. I want power. I don't want children. I want power. I shared with you the book that's directed towards targeting 5 to 8-year-olds to make them comfortable with the premeditated and intentional slaughter of innocent unborn children, preborn children, which they call abortion. Trying to normalize this for 5 to 8-year-olds. The culture that we live in screams, children are a burden. Children are a hindrance. Children are an impediment to your life's dreams, to you fulfilling what you want to be in life. What does the word of God say? What does God say to us in his word? Children are a gift of the Lord. Shiphrah and Purah were rewarded with families of their own as they refused to murder other people's children. God rewarded them with their own families and children. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It's a reward. You know, this is one of the reasons why I object to the assertion of, well, you're an advocate for traditional families. No. It's not about tradition. It's about truth. It's about truth. What is true? Children are a gift of the Lord in Solomon's day. Children are a gift of the Lord in Adam's day. Children are a gift from the Lord in the 21st century. Then Solomon employs the simile. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. I've explained repeatedly that God uses this simile intentionally through Solomon, that the arrow is an instrument that is created with the capacity to accomplish the purpose for which it has been created. However, in order for that arrow to be effective, that arrow must have and must be equipped with a trajectory and direction. God has ordained the Christian parents, the husband and the wife, to provide the trajectory and direction for the arrows that God entrusts to our care. To say it differently, it is not God's will for the children born into Christian families to fend for themselves spiritually. That God has given parents to these children to provide that trajectory and that direction. Verse 5, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. You think God thinks children are a burden? No. Now, I want to be clear about something else. The quiver is determined by God's divine providence. That's not an occasion for anybody to boast. I've been in situations where people boast about their family size. Oh, I have this many children. Therefore, I'm a better person. Therefore, I am more spiritual. Therefore, I'm more pious. Man, that's not something to boast in. It's by God's sovereign grace that you've been blessed with the quantity that you have. There are some circumstances where because of the fallenness and sickness and all kind of other things, the decay that sets in, sometimes people don't have the opportunity or the ability to reproduce the way that others do. The point is not to try to use a gift of God as a basis for pride, but also we need to be honest. Have we adopted an antichrist worldview, a secular, godless hostility towards children? Are we allowing a worldly paradigm to govern our perception of, do we truly believe children are a blessing, or do we believe children are a burden? And then verse 5 concludes, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they contend or speak with their enemies in the gate. What started with an individual warrior concludes with an expanded battalion. The individual warrior is then joined shoulder to shoulder with his arrows as contenders for the faith. This is God's vision.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What exactly does the Bible say about life, standing for life, and the abortion issue? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Proverbs 24, verse 12 tells us, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. You know, and the point I was making before, it's amazing when I'm out and about with my family, people look at me like I'm crazy. You know, they think, oh my God, he's insane. What's all those children? It's like, man, children are a gift. They're a blessing. But I think what most people expect is when you're encountered in public, like if I go to a restaurant, I remember one time, actually recently, we're out and they were like, oh, wow, you brought all of these children to a restaurant. And I think they were anticipating a lack of discipline is what I think they were anticipating. So they were surprised after the fact. Anyway, let's move on. I am delighted to have on the program with me a colleague here at American Family Association. I'm speaking of none other than the Associate Director for the AFA Foundation. She's also the wife of 12 years with AFA Vice President Wesley Wildman. And Wesley and my guest, who I haven't said her name yet intentionally, they have three children. My guest enjoys working with AFA and AFR supporters and says her favorite part of her position is hearing how God has worked in the lives of our supporters. Please join me in welcoming to the program the Associate Director of the AFA Foundation, Mrs. Chelsea Wildman. Chelsea, thank you for joining me here on the program this evening.
Thank you so much for having me, Abe.
It is my pleasure to have you on. For those who may be new to the program and may not be aware of what the AFA Foundation is, would you please explain what is the AFA Foundation?
Absolutely. So we seek to exist to help our donors sow seeds into our ministry for generations to come. So we are per se the financial stewardship branch of the ministry. So we have many different offerings in the AFA Foundation. We have our charitable gift annuity, which I'll explain in just a moment. We are able to provide wills examples for donors who might not have a will set up yet to save them on some cost and time with their attorneys. And then we also help with any bequests that folks might want to leave for American Family Association. So there are many different ways that we help our donors and our friends and our AFA and AFR family sow seeds into the ministry.
Let me start with the bequests, because people may not be aware that this is something that's available. And this is something that I've encountered in working from the legal department with the AFA Foundation. When you refer to bequests, what are bequests?
Yes. So any type of account that you have, it may be a life insurance policy, possibly a savings account, a CD, a mutual fund, even a piece of land possibly. They can list American Family Association as the beneficiary of that account, and it will benefit AFA upon their passing.
Now, is this something I already alluded to it. This would be something that people who may be looking to provide, you know, generational material support, looking forward, kind of even planning for their resources to even be a benefit to God's kingdom long after they may no longer be here. Is that something that has happened that you've seen in working in the foundation, people do, supporters and listeners to provide?
Oh, absolutely. Many times we are unaware of gifts and bequests and, you know, accounts listed as American Family Association as a beneficiary. And those are always such a surprised blessing for the AFA Foundation and in turn for the Ministry of AFA and AFR. We have many times gotten paperwork in the mail and stated, you are a beneficiary of this account and this person wanted to bless your ministry upon their passing. And that really does just, we are so thankful for those gifts and so thankful that our family and friends and listeners would think enough of our ministry to list us in their estate planning. So it really is a blessing to AFA and AFR.
Mm-hmm. So that will be a feature of estate planning.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I was going to say just our most common way that folks do sow seeds into the ministry, absolutely bequest and stock donations, outright giving toward the end of the year is always, you know, on the top of people's minds. Hey, how can I get, you know, a great tax deduction as well as help a ministry and a cause that I'm passionate about? And we love speaking to people about those different ways that can also help and benefit them. Actually, I was just speaking with someone earlier in the day that said, actually, I sold some stock and I've got a large capital gains tax. And I'm just staring at that thinking, oh, how can I alleviate some of this tax burden? Mm. And actually, a charitable gift annuity is a wonderful way. You can actually fund a charitable gift annuity through cash or stock, mutual funds, et cetera, but you can transfer that stock. So I explained that to that gentleman. So he had already, you know, moved forward with selling the stock. So he is actually going to utilize a cash gift so that he can get a great tax benefit to help with some of those capital gains.
Mm. Now, I'm glad you mentioned the charitable gift annuity or the CGA. What is a charitable gift annuity?
Yes. So a charitable gift annuity is giving a gift, any amount, $2,000 or above to AFA. And in exchange, that person would receive a fixed income for the rest of their life. And that percentage that they are paid upon their gift is dependent on how old they are at the time that they give the gift, as well as when they start to receive that income payment being paid to them. So the sooner that you put it in place and any amount of time that you wait to receive that income, it's going to be a higher percentage for them. And there are some wonderful, as I just mentioned, tax benefits for a CGA. Not only are you getting a lifetime income that's not going to go up or down with the stock market, it's going to be a stable fixed percentage for the rest of your life, but you also receive a partial tax deduction as well as partial tax-free income when those payments start to come in. And then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then given to AFA and AFR to continue our ministry's work for the Lord.
Now, you mentioned when a person or an annuitant would start to receive their income from the annuity, are there some parameters that might say, hey, I want to start a CGA, but I am, let's say hypothetically, I am, you know, 60 years old and I don't want to start receiving revenue until I'm 65. Is that something that is done?
Yes, absolutely. That is a deferred gift annuity option. So that deferment, they are actually given the chance to say, unlike other retirement accounts, you're given the chance to say, this is when I want to start receiving that income. So they get to pick that date. We also have a flexible gift annuity, and it's a deferred at least a year or more, but you get to pick a span between 5 and 10 years down the road to start receiving that income. And if you don't need it in that next year, let that sit. Let that percentage grow for you and so that it would be a higher percentage later on down the road. So for folks who know, I definitely want to receive this at 65, that's a deferred gift annuity. For folks who might not know when they want to receive those payments, that would be a great flexible option. And then we also have an immediate option where they, as soon as the next month, can receive income from their gift.
And you said that the annuity, the CGA, will allow them to receive that income for the remainder of their lives, that the same fixed amount monthly for the remainder of their lives.
Absolutely, yes. And that is a one-life gift annuity, and a two-life gift annuity would include usually, not always, but usually a spouse. So that would be for the surviving spouse, that amount continues until their passing as well. So it does cover two lives.
Wow. Now, you mentioned bequests. We haven't talked about wills as much just yet, but I want to be clear. When people call, does the foundation offer legal advice on these matters?
No, we do not give legal advice. We are not financial planners. We are trained, and our specialty is the charitable gift annuity. So we will not be giving legal or tax advice, but we can certainly point you to some folks that can help you in that area.
Okay. But if someone is listening and they say, hey, man, I heard about the guy who sold him stock, yet he was facing a capital gains tax hike, and you were able to help walk him through how he could maybe make a donation to help shield or alleviate some of that tax burden. If someone wanted to get more information about any one of the things you've mentioned, bequests, wills, or the specialty you just referred to, CGAs, how could they contact you?
Yes, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. I'll give that once more, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or they can find us on the on our website, afafoundation.net, and it answers a lot of questions there as well.
That's so good. That's so good. Thank you for sharing that information. Now, when you mentioned the wills, certainly that is connected to bequests, and we hadn't talked about that as much. What, if anything, would you like to share with the listeners and viewers now concerning the wills, as you mentioned, one of the three things you mentioned initially?
Yes. So we have a wills guide that we can email or mail for anyone who is interested, and they would fill that out and take it to their attorney, and their attorney would then take those wishes. It basically saves time, effort, and legal dollars in putting their will in place, because everything is right there for that attorney to take and then create their will.
Mm. So that's a service that's also available through the foundation. You said it's available via email or through traditional conventional mail that they can receive that guide, right?
Yes, absolutely. They can request that. You can also send us an email, foundation@afa.net, if you would like to request that wills guide.
Okay, foundation@afa.net is the email. Now, you shared the phone number, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. You know, we live in the era, unfortunately, where customer service in many industries has been outsourced internationally. I'll just say it that way. When people call 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, who should they expect to talk to?
Absolutely. So they will speak with myself, Chelsea. Riley actually is my sister-in-law, as well as the foundation director, or Jessica. So she is our administrative assistant and is wonderful at getting folks to the right place, whether that be Riley or myself, to speak about their situation. So they will speak with one of us. Definitely not outsourced.
All right. One more time, would you please just share the contact information, website, phone numbers, and anything else you want to make sure we share that I may have not asked a question about just yet?
Yes, absolutely. So a couple of the deadlines that I do want to speak on really quickly.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
If anyone is interested in gifting their QCD, to help alleviate some of their taxes, that would be, we ask that folks go ahead and start initiating those transfers now. Those brokerage companies get inundated toward the end of the year, so we just want to put that on the top of people's minds to go ahead and start that transaction. So that's for a QCD or an IRA gift. We have an outright stock donation that they can start to initiate as well. December 15th, we ask that usually around that time they will have initiated that gift. And for any cash or charitable gift annuity options, then that is more toward the end of the month. December 31st is when everything needs to be postmarked so that it can count for this 2025 tax year.
That's so good to know, because the deadlines could creep up on people, and we're in, you know, the Christmas season. And so this is something you'd want to attend to. For those who may not be aware, you refer to the acronym QCD. What is a QCD? And would you just run us through those deadlines one more time, please?
Yes. A QCD is a qualified charitable distribution from an IRA account, from a traditional retirement account. And again, that QCD transfer deadline, we ask that you go ahead and take care of that request this week. Any stock donations for an outright gift or to be used for a charitable gift annuity, we ask around December 15th you initiate that. And as well as cash, gifts, or charitable gift annuities, we need those in by December 31st.
Excellent. And so finally, the contact information. For those who are listening and they're stirred by hearing these options, I mean, the prospect of being able to plan prospectively how stewardship can be an impact for the work of God's kingdom long into the future, how can people get in contact with you?
Yes. To sow those seeds into our ministry and to impact for future generations, you can reach us at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
afafoundation.net or 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. Jeff, would you please make sure that contact information is in the show notes? And guys, those who are listening, this may be appealing to you. Do not hesitate. The AFA Foundation is always responsive. As Chelsea just mentioned, when you call, we won't have an outsourced customer service. You're going to get her, Riley, or Jessica in the AFA Foundation, and they are always so eager and willing to help. Thank you so much for joining me on the show here today, Chelsea.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, when we come back from the break, more from the Hamilton Corner. I guess this will be a teaser. What do you do when your part-time job clashes with your full-time job? What do you do when your part-time job clashes with your full-time job? We'll answer that when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner right here on American Family Radio, or watching the show or listening to the podcast variety. No matter how you're doing it, where you're doing it, or when you're doing it, we are grateful that you're doing it. You don't want to miss the remainder of this show. Some of you guys have been asking me questions. Well, you might get some answers after this break.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christmas distraction. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. It's remarkable to observe just how little all the hubbub leading to Christmas reflects the reason for the season. Blow up Santas adorn yards, ubiquitous ads entice purchasing endless things, and background music in stores croons about Frosty and Jingle Bells. The truth is, the God of this world has successfully distracted society from focusing on the Christ of Christmas. Don't be drawn in, Christian. Rather, focus on the main thing, God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Hear our most recent program with Grant Castleberry, pastor and author of Manger in Danger, a Christmas devotional for families, at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to The Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here, and I guess I should say the Hamiltons Corner now, because my full-time job is joining me during my part-time job. So if you're watching the show, you'll be able to see to my right is my lovely wife, but she's holding our youngest son, David. Dave, you want to say hello? You want to say hello again? Say it clearly. That is David, our youngest, and then to his right,
hello.
You have, and what's your name?
Daniel.
And so for those who have been watching for the longest, they've seen pictures of you, but not on with your face, because that's Spider-Man.
Please stop.
Spider-Man's growing up, and to my left. Spider-Man. Yes, right Spider-Man. Here. There's it right here. Yes, and to my left, we have Spider-Man's older brother, Gabriel.
Yes, hello, I am Iron Man.
He likes Iron Man.
You are Iron Man? When did you become Iron Man? That's brand new.
Since my birth.
Since your birth.
He likes Iron Man.
I'm Ironheart.
You're Ironheart?
Yeah.
No, my goodness. Hulk.
He's the Hulk. You're the Hulk. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're the Hulk.
Yeah.
I'm Betty Handsome. Those are our favorite superheroes.
Okay, very cool. So, it is what I was telling Gabriel. I was going to bring him to the studio with me. And he was saying, oh, yes, I get to be on. So we've been able to take a break from our normal routines. And I've invited them to join me here in studio. And so I want to ask you boys a question. And I want you to think about it before you answer. All right?
Okay.
All right. So, you know, we just came through the Thanksgiving season. And we're in the Christmas season. I'm going to ask you both this question. I'll start with Daniel. What is one thing, think about it before you answer though, okay? What is one thing that you are grateful for?
Earth.
Earth? What about the earth? What is it about the earth that you are grateful for?
Air.
What about air? You have more than one word?
So that we can breathe.
So that we can breathe. Okay, that's good stuff. What about you, Gaby? What's one thing that you are grateful for? Look at this. He's rubbing his chin like he's pondering.
I'm thinking.
Want us to come back to you?
I have lots of things.
You have lots of, just name one. Come on, man. We're on radio, so we can't have the pause.
God.
You're grateful for God?
Yeah.
What is it about God that causes you to be grateful?
He died on the cross for us.
Amen. Man, that is something that is overwhelmingly worthy to be grateful for. And David, you want to say one thing that you're grateful for?
I'm playing in snow.
What was that?
Playing in snow.
What?
Playing in snow? Playing in snow. So these are my three youngest sons. This is half of our six-pack. And for the sake of time, I'm going to have to exchange this crew out to get the other half of the six-pack in. Would you escort them out, babe? Boys, go ahead and take the headphones off and put them right here on the table, and I'll get the others in. As you all know, Marie and I, we have six children, so this is half of our six-pack, and the others are in, and I just wanted to invite them. It's amazing that the central word in American Family Radio is family. Is family. And so I've been talking this week about the gift that family is, and many of you have been asking me about different members of our family as we travel. Sometimes we get to meet different people and things of that nature. And so I'm just grateful to have them in studio with me. So now we have the next half. Yes, guys, we're on the air, so Just know that we're on the air. So right on the far right, we have my youngest daughter. So we have four boys and six girls. I don't know, she might need some help, Jeff. I don't know what's going on with it.
It's hooked on my chair.
Okay. Yeah, Jeff is going to help you.
Thank you.
While Jeff is helping her, we'll start, because I have questions for the other two. So to my right is my oldest son, and my left is my oldest daughter. And they've been listening throughout and Jeff, maybe pull on mic. They've been listening to the show, and they listened to the first segment as well. And I'll start with you, Abby. So in the rainbow-colored sweater all the way to the right is my Abigail. You know, and so when we were doing family devotions the other night, and I shared with you guys something, actually I shared on the radio about this horrible book that's targeting 5 to 8-year-olds concerning the murder of children. And you were particularly moved by that. What did you think about that when we talked about that at home, Abby?
I wanted to burn the book.
You wanted to burn the book. Why?
It made me so mad that they think they can just kill a real baby child just because they make themselves feel better by saying it's not a baby when it is. Because it's murder. They know what it is, and they know they're wrong. So they're trying to make themselves feel better. So to make it seem like they're not wrong.
And how are you saying they're trying to make themselves feel better?
They're calling it like a fetus, an embryo. Fetus is Latin for baby. They're saying the same thing, but in a different language, so it sounds different, so it makes them feel better about their murder.
Yeah, so well said. So well said, Abby. And Anna, I want to ask you a question, because did you just tear up?
Yes, I just hate abortion so much.
Why is that?
Like what Abby said.
Go ahead.
Okay, because not only are they dehumanizing young people, but also taking them out while they're weak and can't defend themselves. Like people who are supposed to be taking care of babies are killing them. That also always makes me very sad.
Yeah, yeah. And in contrast to that, and you heard the first segment, and obviously I know you all, so I know you've heard me talk about these scriptures before. But was there anything in particular that stood out to you today as you were listening, as we were talking about Psalm 127 and what the Lord shares from his word as to his perspective on what children are and them being a blessing and a gift?
Yeah, as I was listening, I was like, I could see why he wanted us to go on today.
Now, I have to tell you, I didn't plan to talk about that scripture. It wasn't definitely related, but it is true. It is true. Yeah.
I'm just thinking about, because God's perspective on children is his same perspective on people. He loves them as his own, because we are his own, because he made us and we belong to him. Mm-hmm. And again, this relates to abortion, how people are not valuing children the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, for Thanksgiving, we went to go see grandparents. A lady, as we were walking past, the lady literally said, I would tear my hair out as we walked past. And I was like...
What was she referring to when she said that?
All of us walking around.
So why did she say she would tear her hair out?
Because people's perspective on children is incorrect and perverted.
Yeah. So she was saying she would tear her hair out if she had
six
children.
She had six kids. Yeah. I was like, madam, who asked you? For real, though. It just makes me so mad. Be like, excuse me. I'm sure people don't mean to be offensive, but it offends my nostrils quite a lot.
It does. What can I say?
Christian, I want to ask you a question as well. Similar to what I asked Anna just now, just considering what the Lord says in his word and Psalm 127 and really the gravity of what God's word is and what it should be in our lives. Was there anything particular that resonated with you as we were walking through Psalm 127 earlier in the program?
One thing that occurred to me was how that arrow, the arrow's target. Because the Lord fashions the arrows to hit a target, and that the target isn't up to the archer. Target's up to the Lord. And that archer's task is to help those arrows in hitting their target, whatever that target may be. And the target may not always be what the archer thinks it is.
That's a profound observation from there. And when you consider the reality of the reference to the individual warrior, then the expanded battalion, what does that communicate to you? To where the warriors joined when they contend with the enemies in the gate? If anything, if nothing, I'm not trying to force you to have anything to say in particular.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have anything to say.
Okay, that's so cool. That's so cool. Now, I know that you all are here, that my older two, y'all got some final exams coming up. But everybody else is taking a break from the normal homeschool routine. How do you all feel? I know it's kind of unique amongst some children, considering that homeschoolers are a minority. What do you think about being discipled in the home and homeschool children? I'll start with you, Abby.
So much better.
Why do you think? Why do you say that?
We are being taught the truth instead of all that junk in the public schools, and also, it tends to, I should say it differently, but in kids that go to public school, probably feel more self-conscious because of all like trends and all that stuff, and like in the world, that the standard of like beauty is like a Barbie, which I think is disgusting. And when people look different than that, they probably, and if they go to public school, they'll most likely feel different and not beautiful. But God says otherwise.
God says otherwise. Now, so somebody literally is posting, how do you answer comments like, boy, you got your hands full? Well, yeah, I know that happens all the time. And honestly, there have been times when people say that to me as we're walking about. There's a comment on the live stream that asked me that question where I've said out loud in front of my children, I'd rather have my hands full than empty. You know, I'd rather have my hands full than empty. I'll say, yes, we do have our hands full and we're enjoying every moment of it because we truly, truly are. Now, we only have a few minutes left. I want to ask the two. When I mentioned on the program, I have two teenagers now. I have my daughter, my oldest daughter on the left, has just entered the ranks of the teenagers. And the seasoned veteran teenager to my right is my oldest son. But I'll ask you, I'll start with Anna, then I'll come to you, Christian. Based on what you've experienced so far and what you're learning, what you're enjoying, how you're growing and you're developing, do you think you would seek to disciple your children in your home when you're an adult? If God blesses you with children, do you think you would want to disciple them in the home, including educating them in the home?
100% yes, absolutely, no doubt about that. I had to enter Russian mode. This is factual.
And why would you do that?
Because it literally says in scripture, it's up to the parents to cultivate their children. Like you say, your full-time job should be your family. I mean, it says on my shirt. It's true, though. And I want to take up that responsibility that if I am blessed with children, that I would think of it as a blessing and try to be a good steward of the blessing that I would be given in a hypothetical scenario if I am to have kids.
Christian, the same question for you.
I consider homeschooling the only, pretty much the only option. Because, unless the Lord specifically calls you to send your kids to public school for some reason, then yes, you should send your kids to public school, because in accordance with the Lord's will, if you're certain. But with all the everything about public school, it's definitely not somewhere you should consider as your first option. I'd much prefer homeschooling.
And why?
Public school is less of a school and more of a communist indoctrination camp for children to desensitize them to what is truly evil and what is truly right against the will of the parents. To sever the connection between the parents and the children for like 6 out of your 8 hours of the day, or something like that.
Well, I'm so glad you all joined me. The disrespectful music is about to start. I know y'all hear it at home often, but now you hear it in studio. One thing I do want to say, and I don't say this, God knows what's going on in all of our families and those who are listening and the various features of your lives. I know there's a phenomenon of single parents and challenges on all kinds of fronts. But you will never regret obeying God. You will never regret obeying what the Lord says in Scripture. And so as we're wrapping up today's program, I want to encourage those who are listening and those who are watching, to seek the Lord with your whole heart before concluding anything, including the decisions that we'll make in terms of the cultivation of our children's hearts and their minds, because that is what education is. It is the cultivation of the mind. Before concluding that based on history or tradition, I would encourage you to seek what God says about it in His Word. And as we seek what God says in His Word, we set our hearts to comport and to comply with what God establishes, and you'll never regret it. Even with the variables of various iterations of challenges and even brokenness, you'll never regret going God's way. I've seen it happen in many different dynamics. I've seen single parents who make the decisions, and you'll never regret going God's way. The peaceable fruit of righteousness is truly that. It is peaceable, and it has the enduring capacity to put us on the course, to enjoy what the scripture says, for example, in 3 John 4, that I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. We still have a long way to go in my family, but we're endeavoring to incorporate that in our own homes, in our own home, and I encourage you to do the same. You all have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.